Would you like to create harmony instead of stress, regardless of all the demands for your attention? And when the outside world strikes your heart with painful emotions, would you like to quickly go from chaos to inner peace? I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor, and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, and the Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Naya Swami's Jyotishan Devi received recently in November 2017, very recently, the Global Peace Ambassador Award at the United Nations Tillman Chapel in New York City for the inspiring ways Ananda, and they will talk more about Ananda, brings spiritual wisdom to life today. Jyotishan Devi are spiritual directors of Ananda, a global spiritual movement of people living yoga in their daily lives, based on the teachings of Paramhansa Yogananda, the spiritual master who sparked a revolution of yoga and meditation in the West with his book, decades ago, Autobiography of a Yogi. For nearly 50 years, Jyotishan Devi trained and worked side by side with Swami Kriyananda, building Ananda. Jyotishan Devi took Naya Swami vows when Swami Kriyananda founded the new Swami order for married as well as single people of all faiths and paths who wished to commit their lives to God. Some years before his passing in 2013, Kriyananda named Naya Swami Jyotish as Dharmakarya, his spiritual successor. So for me, it's an absolute delight to welcome both of you today, Jyotishan Devi.
Thank you, Erica. It's very, very nice to be on again with you and to be able to chat a bit.
And thank you for the beautiful introduction. I would get a little embarrassed if we can live up to everything you said.
But one of the qualities that's important is humility. And
yes,
you obviously have that. So I'm just thrilled to have another opportunity to speak with you. And since many of our listeners may not know about Ananda and they may not know your background, please tell us what it's been like for you as a married couple to share Paramahansa Yogananda's spiritual wisdom to the world, and then we'll talk more about your recent award.
Well, I'll start, and then maybe Devi will have a few words too. The being a married couple is not very strange to us at all, because Yogananda's teachings were so absolutely practical. You know, he taught meditation and meditation techniques as the basis of how to get in touch with your own inner realities. But then it was very, very important to his life and his mission and his teachings that he show how that spiritual depth can be lived in a practical way. And so he didn't have any real distinction between whether a person was single or married or a parent or a couple. He just looked at the soul and tried to help people live to their own highest self.
And I think, too, in the world, even since we spoke last year, the world has changed, and the roles of women and men in the world are, you know, it's a very problematic time. And I think it's very important to have examples of strong male-female partnership where both the strengths of each individual are brought forth, and one isn't dominant, one isn't better than the other, and they and it's very important, I think, to have strong women models in the world today, as well as models of a harmonious blending of masculine and feminine energy. And of course, we're all a mixture of both. You can't say you're only masculine energy or only feminine energy, whatever gender your body happens to be. But anyway, I think it's an important statement, and we find it often when, as we travel globally teaching, people say, oh, it's so wonderful to see people who have been married, who have children, be able to still have a deep spiritual life and to help others have a spiritual life as well in the same circumstances.
Yes, it's beautiful. I just wanted to mention something that with all the trauma coming out, the men that have perpetrated abuse over the years, I've spoken to a lot of women, and every single one has an example of some situation that happened with a man years ago, and, you know, at work or wherever. And yet the women handled it differently depending on their personalities, too.
Right,
so
right, of course.
That what you just mentioned, strong women, is really important. We weren't trained to be strong in the past in that way.
Yeah, and it's equally important. It's very good that these issues are now coming to the surface, because obviously they've been there. They've just been under the surface. And it's very good that
right.
they're coming to the surface, because men have to also learn their proper part and proper role in honoring the reality of each individual, and not seeing anyone as, I don't know, being there for exploitation of any kind.
And we read we saw an interesting interview recently with a man, I believe his name was Sebastian Younger, who wrote a book called Tribe. And it's a very interesting book, and I think you'd enjoy it, Erica. I'm promoting somebody else's book, but it has good ideas. And he said that when you study, the reason they call it tribe is when you study kind of more simple life patterns and cultures, in tribes there's usually, and it's very important for stability to have kind of an alpha male figure and then a compassionate female figure, and it doesn't have to be one is the man and one is the woman. It could be switched roles, but both of those are needed to create a secure, stable society. And by and large, globally, we don't see that pattern. There's the strong male dominance, and I think there's really a corrective that needs to be made to bring more female leadership, or at least the compassionate, sensitive awareness of other people's realities, to bring that more into politics and leadership and government and economics in the work you're doing. It sounds, I'm sure you help many people with all the things you're doing to help balance relationships.
Yeah, I don't want to stay on this too long, but just one more comment about that a lot of men who maybe don't have as strong a personality choose a woman that has that strength, and there's nothing wrong
That's
with
right.
that. But
exactly.
But
Very
if society
good.
Makes the man feel inadequate, he gets all confused. You know, and
yes.
that's been going on too.
Yeah, it's a time where these roles need to come into a balance, and they need to come into a state of health and helping people be happy. And it's good that we're going, it's a time of turmoil, but it's good that we're going through. It's kind of a healing process.
Yes, definitely. All right, so now tell us about Ananda Village. When and why was it created, and what's its mission?
Well, Ananda Village came out of Paramahansa Yogananda was a great, great teacher. And our founder, Swami Kriyananda, was a direct disciple. one of the real dreams of Paramahansa Yogananda was the creation of what he called world brotherhood villages, where the teachings can actually be lived like a living laboratory. It's one thing to believe in meditation and, good principles, but it's another thing to live them. So the first community of Ananda was founded in 1969, so it's almost 50 years now, and we were founding members. It's a large piece of property, 750 acres, and nearly 300 people living there. And since that time, the principle has spread around the world, and we have 8 or 9 other large communities and several hundred meditation groups and centers.
So the next question I have is, you received this award, so please tell us how this came about. What were you doing, and how did they find you, and how did this happen?
Well, it was actually a very, very moving experience, probably one of the highlights of our life. Since Swami Kriyananda passed, our teacher and Ananda's founder in 2013, Jyotish and I have stepped into the role of spiritual directors of Ananda Worldwide. So we spend probably half the time on the road. Our home base is at Ananda, the first Ananda community called Ananda Village, but we travel throughout the U.S. We usually spend a month, and that's not just traveling, but teaching, sharing with others, giving workshops on meditation and applied spirituality. Then we usually spend about a month in Italy. We have a wonderful international community there, near Assisi, and there are, I think, 10 different countries. People from about 10 different countries are permanent residents there. And then we spend about 3 months a year in India teaching all over. We have centers, major centers, in about 7 or 8 big cities there. And so this is the work we've been doing, and there is a spiritual organization which is an affiliate of the UN called the Institute of International Social Development. And they had heard about Ananda, the man in charge is an Indian man, Shomik Chowdhury, and he had heard about Ananda and very much wanted to honor the work that we were doing to spread Yogananda's teachings. And so last summer, the UN declared an International Day of Yoga, June 21st. And so last June 21st, one of our representatives from the East Coast took part in that, was invited to do a workshop there. And Mr. Chowdhury was so impressed with her teaching, that another woman teacher, that he said, I really must honor Ananda. So he got in touch with us and said, and said, I will do this. We'd like to have this ceremony. And so we came back early from India and were able to receive it at the Tillman Chapel in New York. And it was really a very touching moment because we didn't feel it was something we personally were receiving, but it was really honoring the work that Swami Kriyananda and Ananda has been doing for 50 years.
Wow. And it shows the effect it's having.
Yes.
As part of that, we looked really for the first time at some statistics of Ananda's work, and as well as I mentioned the centers and meditation groups. But through Ananda's efforts, we've taught nearly 1 million people how to meditate, and not only taught them, but done years and years of work to try to support their meditation practices, to help them live a healthier and happier life. And so over the years, if you keep at it like a good beaver, then you accumulate quite a body of work.
And I have recently noticed that there are people who just can't sit still to meditate, or they have to say a lot of words, and and just maybe talk a little bit about meditation. What you teach?
Okay, well, meditation.
People get started.
Okay, I know, Erica, you do a lot of work with healing, and meditation, I think, is really one of the most effective forms of self-help and self-healing that we can take up. And of course, it's like training. The brain is something that we can train. You know, you can train your brain to learn a new language or a new skill. And learning to concentrate and focus the mind is a skill. And it doesn't come naturally to anybody, really. I don't think I've ever met anyone who, maybe one or two people out of many, many thousands, who said, you know, the first time I sat to meditate, I just was able to do it. For most people, it's working with the restless mind, which has not been disciplined. And so to get started, I would refer two good sources. One, Jyotish has written a wonderful book, which actually has sold nearly a million copies over the years, called How to Meditate by Jyotish Novak. And that's a really good beginner's resource. And then if you go, we've been talking about Ananda, if you go to our major website, Ananda, ANANDA.org, you can find so much resources there, free resources, videos, basic instruction, and you'll also be led to more books you can buy, and we have a wonderful array of online courses, training in meditation that you can sign up for. So basically, it's good to get some good instruction in the beginning, learn some simple basic meditation techniques, and then to just not get discouraged. It's also very important if you can find a group of people that you can meditate with. It's very, very helpful in the beginning to have others who are even beginners, who are just trying. And people need to understand, in the beginning, it's more important to meditate 5 minutes every day than to try to meditate an hour once a week. That'll just break your spirit, because it'll be beyond what you can do in the beginning. But just keeping at it every day, training the mind to be focused, to be concentrated, to be calm, to be harmonious, all these things are fruits of meditation. And as I say, it heals the whole being, the mind, the personality, the body. It's really one of the most effective self-help techniques we can pick up.
It's so important. And what you've also said, just putting that 5 minutes in a day, that's what people have so much trouble with. They run around and they can't do something consistently. And
yes,
it's huge
to
do that.
We recommend that the best times are when you first wake up in the morning, before you have gotten busy. Usually you have time under your control at that point. And just to sit, and one of the very easy basic techniques is just to feel the breath coming in and out at the high point of the nostrils, and then just to observe that. That gives you a focal point. If you would just do that for 5 minutes in a very relaxed state, you'd find that your mind is already becoming calm and focused. And then most people naturally want to meditate longer, but a consistent practice then carries over into your day, where you're more centered, you're calmer, you're feeling your own inner strength and happiness. There are so, if once the mind is calm, then you begin to see how strong and positive and happy you already are underneath the surface.
There's a great statement from the Dalai Lama, one of the great spiritual lights of our times, who said, if every 8-year-old child was taught to meditate, war would end in one generation. And I believe that's true, because it helps you to feel your unity with others, your unity with your own higher self, and it's a great force of both personal and interpersonal integration. which is so needed today, where we see so much divisiveness and breakdown of human interaction.
Yes, and the other piece is that so many people, like couples, relationships, business partnerships, people are blaming the other person and
not doing the
I don't want to call it work, not looking at themselves, not calming down and paying attention to me.
That's right.
Being at Ananda Village now for 50 years, it's like a living laboratory. And meditation and looking within, seeing your own strengths and your own weaknesses, your own part in the drama of your life, but meditation where you get a calm time to look at that is like oil in the machinery of society. And we've never had, in 50 years, we've never had a violent incident. And we're talking about 300 or 400 people and you know, over many, many decades. So no violent incidents, very, very little disruptive behavior, a great sense of harmony and happiness. People who come here at first think everybody is kind of falsely putting on a smile. They can't believe that people really are happy in the everyday way that we are. And then after a couple two or three days, they realize that people are sincerely happy. But it all starts with meditation.
And it all starts with looking within your own self.
Absolutely.
Not looking
out
to the world.
That's right. What's our part? It's so important, and I'm sure you can work with people in this way. Any problem in your life, what's your part in it? What have you done to create that problem? Recently, there was a little disharmony with, and I was sitting in meditation, and I thought of that person, and the first thought that came to my mind was, forgive me. And I realized that I had been the cause of the problem, not the other person, and it was like this huge weight lifted off my shoulders, and I just saw everything differently. So, And, you know, we also want to mention, I'm sure you're going to lead into it, but we have a new book coming out called Touch of Joy. And it's a compilation. Jyotish and I write a weekly blog. Try to make each one different, each one fun, each one inspiring. And so this book, Touch of Joy, is it's our second compilation of blogs. The first one was called Touch of Light. This one is our blogs from 2015 and 2016. And it's, you know, in the world today where happiness is a very elusive quality, personal and societal happiness, I think this book can really help people to find tools and attitudes and inspiring stories that help them to develop and enhance their own sense of inner happiness. And we have a special gift offer that we're doing. The book will be released February 20th, but if you pre-order it on Amazon, then we have a gift offer of 6 gift e-books that you can also sign up for that our publisher also offers. And these are 2 books by Swami Kriyananda, 2 books by Yogananda, and 2 books that Jyotish and I have written, other books. So if you pre-order Touch of Joy before February 20th, you can receive these 6 e-books as gifts. And to pre-order, you can go, the easiest way, I think, is, again, to go to this main website, Ananda, ananda.org, and there's a big section on it, how to pre-order, how to get your gift books, and that would be, I think people will really be benefited from this book. We have many, many subscribers to our blog globally. I think it's about 30,000 at this point, and people derive a great deal of benefit from these weekly blogs. They say we get a lot of emails, people saying, this is what I look forward to every week is your when the Touch of Light blog comes out.
My weekly reset.
Oh, it's beautiful. But I want to give the subtitle of it, A Yogi's Guide to Lasting Happiness. And
correct.
We can all use that. Not just today when everything's going well, but when things don't go well.
Yeah.
Yes, we recently read that Yale offered a course in happiness, and it was the most popular course in the history of the school. More than a quarter of the students signed up for it, so they had to move into the biggest halls they could find. Over 1,200 students,
wow.
But many of them saying, you know, I'm just so stressed, I'm just not finding happiness. So people are looking for it and practical ways to achieve it. So I think this book can be very helpful.
Definitely. All right, I'd like to go back to something. You started something a year ago, Be the Change.
Yes, this is, you know, as well as individual happiness and individual peace, we need to work on finding that as a whole human nation for the whole globe. And so Be the Change campaign is weekly prayers for peace, a global peace, and it's based on what Gandhi said, Mahatma Gandhi, that we must become the change we want to see. And so we ask people, it's not very formal at all, just to dedicate prayer or meditation once a week to global peace. And that magnetism of thousands of people, there are people from over 100 countries doing this.
And once a month, we have a guided meditation for an hour on Saturday morning. And this is taking place all over the world. So they're from India, from Europe, from America. Different spiritual centers are all leading that once a month. And if you want to find out more about the Be the Change campaign, again, go to ananda.org and you can pledge time that you yourself would like to pray or meditate for world peace, or you can find out about when you can tune into these live streaming guided meditations on Saturday mornings from around the world.
It's amazing what you're doing to help people do it from the inside rather than starting on the outside.
Yeah, and that's really where all change takes place. You know, you can do a Band-Aid on a wound, but if there's, you know, it's not healed from the inside, it won't do much good. So I think really what Yogananda brought and what we share globally is how to find happiness within yourself, how to find your own higher self, and then to share the best that you are with others and help them to awaken their own potential. And it's thrilling for us to see globally how people are touched and uplifted and drawn to these teachings.
And I guess one more question. How, you talk about this in your book, how is external chaos, you know, all the craziness in the world, actually a spiritual opportunity?
Well, you know, if you have a kind of low-level ache in your body, let's say a little bit of joint pain, if it's just small, you kind of ignore it, you learn to cope with it, you just go on. But if it gets strong enough, then you say, I've got to do something about this. And so maybe you change your diet, you start exercising, you take some yoga classes, you do something to alleviate it. And right now, the world is chaotic enough so that people are realizing we've got to do something about this. And so that represents an opportunity for change that can be ultimately very beneficial, but a little difficult during the time that we're going through it.
Beautiful. So do you have any final words for our listeners to help them get started on the path?
Okay. I would say simply, happiness is a choice. You can choose to be happy. You don't have to wait for circumstances to change. You can make positive improvements within yourself that will change the whole landscape of your life if you decide, I want to be happy and I will do the work inwardly and outwardly to make this happen.
And I would just add to that that the more you look outside yourself for happiness, the less you're going to find it. The more you try to change other people, the less effective and more frustrated you're going to be. So look within yourself, make the changes internally, and your own magnetism that you develop from that will change the people around you.
Wow, that is so true. And very hard for people to grasp.
Yes.
They need examples. That's why it's so important, the work you're doing and the work we're doing, because in the abstract, theoretically, people just can not believe it. But when they see the power that these attitudes and practices truly have to change people's lives in living examples, then they think, maybe I can do that too. And I think that for
wow.
all of your listeners, just to remember, happiness can be yours. It's your choice. And we have a wonderful saying, happiness is the solution. It's not the reward.
Wow. Right. Yeah, so you start with the happiness.
That's
yes.
right. And you don't wait if I'm... Right. You don't wait for, if I do all these things, then I'll be happy. You start by choosing happiness. And then that changes everything around you.
Beautiful. So just tell us the website again.
It's Ananda.
If they buy the book.
Ananda.org. That's ananda.org. And if you go there, you'll see quite prominently A Touch of Joy, A Yogi's Guide to Lasting Happiness, and you can just click on that and it'll take you to a page where you can pre-order and then receive these wonderful books as gifts.
Well, thank you so much again for connecting with me. It's such a delight. I love
thank
the work you're doing.
And thank you for the work you're doing too. We're all in this together.
Yes, thank you. And we need that support. We all need it.